Okay, we are up to, we are in the middle of a pasuk. We usually like to try to at least finish the pasuk before we conclude, but this time, last time we weren't so lucky. We're in the middle, Perek Yud Beis. We are in the middle of the pasuk. Hey, let's read the pasuk again. Ki im raglim ra pasuk hey. Pasuk hey, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk hey. Ki im raglim rats. What? I'm sorry. Ki es raglim ratsta vayal ucha. If you have run a foot race, ratsta means to run. Raglim means to run with your feet, not to run on horse, by chariot or by other means. But if you have run with your feet, competing against other men that are similar to you, and vayal ucha, and these competitors have caused you to become tired in the race. In other words, if you're running a marathon and you become tired, so it, therefore, alachas kam, if you're trying to compete against a horse, the how do you fathom to compete? The word tischare means to compete, es hasusim, against horses, and not become tired. The end of this expression is critical to ed, day to ed, the word, to repeat the word, va yalucha. If you will run a foot race against your fellow men, and that causes you to become tired, how then do you think you can compete with a horse, which obviously has different koiches, the different strengths, and then certainly how much more so will you become tired and exhausted in the competition. Therefore, now Hashem follows through the Moser came to Yirmiyahu Ve'eret Shalom Ata Boteach, and Hashem is repeating the Mashal, but it's being more explicit. If in the land of peace, Ata Boteach, if in the land which you, now this means according to the Mitzvot, according to Radak, which means in the land which you expect to find peace, in your hometown, in the town of Anosos, is a place where you're familiar, you're comfortable, and there you expect to find peace, and yet you have been fooled, you discover that it's not peaceful, you are in trouble. Al achas kama v'kama v'eichta seh b'gon hayarden, how do you expect to find peace in the Gaon Hayarden, in the region of the Yarden where the lions and the mighty dangerous creatures hang out? Okay, so you know what, we're going to read the Metzilas again because we have to elaborate this pasuk. But the basic idea over here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is criticizing Yirmiyah. He's criticizing Yirmiyah by telling Yirmiyah that in Anosos, well, there are really many interpretations, but the simple interpretation is that you have a very difficult time dealing with the people in your hometown, Anosos. And in the last few psukim, we learned how Yirmiyahu cursed them. He discovered that they were planning to assassinate him, and that angered him very much, and he cursed them, and he begged Hashem that he live to see the day when these people will be obliterated, and he said he can't wait for Nebuchadnezzar to come and wipe out these people. So Hashem says to him, wow, if you can't take the heat in your hometown, Anosos, and deal with the wicked people, you only can imagine, al-achas kam v'kama, how hard you're going to have a hard time dealing when you get to Yerushalayim, when you deal with the wicked people there, because their wickedness is infinitely greater than the wickedness of the people here in Anosos. Anosos, they're lightweights. And in Yerushalayim, they're heavyweights. And if you can't survive the lightweights, there's no way you're going to be able to deal with the heavyweights. Before we go further, I want to welcome back Rabbi Michal from Eretz Yisrael. It's nice to see you back.
So what is Hashem telling
you? Let's see. Let's review the Mitzudos. Okay, let's review. Let's review the Mitzudos. He's telling them over here is, Yirmiyahu, you're overreacting. You're overreacting. This is what I have hired you for. If you can't, I've recruited you for. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. And the heat now, we're not even in the kitchen yet. We're only in the foyer. We're only outside. You have to be mechazik yourself and brace yourself for the real difficult mission that is yet to come. That is one interpretation. Another interpretation to lay out now before we see the word inside is from the Radak. The Radak learns that this is Hashem's answer to Yirmiyah's question of tzaddik viralo. We learned yesterday in the pasuk the question, why do wicked people, are they successful? Hashem said, you'll never understand. If you don't understand why the people of Anosos are successful, even though they're trying to kill you, alachas kam v'kamo, you'll never come to understand how, if you don't understand man, your own fellow men, why they are successful, you'll never be able to understand Hashem's ways. In other words, in this idea, the Radak says Hashem is comparing himself, kaviyachol, to a sus. Man does not know the innermost thoughts and plans of his fellow man. That's the marshal of the Raglim Ratzta. If you don't understand the thoughts and plans of your fellow man, how do you expect to compete with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who in this pasuk is being compared to the horses? Let's see all of this inside in detail. Let's first start with the Mitzvot pasuk. Hey, Kiim Raglim Ratzta Vayaluch. Lefisha Yirmiyah Lohoya Adayin Maki B'Poyel Marbis Risha Spedei Yehuda V'Yerushalayim. At this point in time, according to the Mitzvot, Yirmiyah was not aware of the extreme evil of the people living in Yerushalayim. L'chein Amar Loi B'Moshel. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, Haloi Hischabarto Larutz Yiyachad Emanashim Holchei Regel Kimoyischa. Yirmiyah, so far, all you are familiar with are people of your hometown, the people of Anassos. It's a local little village. Those people those are the only people that you have come in contact with, which you have delivered your mussar. And yet, look at you, Yirmiyah. You can't survive. You can't take it. V'hinei heim hilucha, they have worn you out. You're ready to quit. You're burnt out. Ki naseis oyef yogea larutz b'shav Elohem, you become tired and worn out by competing with them. V'eichtis sachareh, how can you compete? How then do you think you can compete to fight? How do you think you can compete to go and compete with people who ride on horses? What is the big picture of this pasuk? Haloi anshei anosos, heimo kiroi vecha, they are your colleagues. The kama meharaos also imcha. They've done with you many evils. Acha tipochid mipneihem. You have been terrified from before them. Uma oy tire im tischaberim anshe Yerushalayim v'sarihem. How in the world are you going to be able to survive when you join? You meet up with the people of Yerushalayim because they're much worse. Ki oz takir berisha some kiflayim mibnei anosos. The people of Yerushalayim are double. Much more evil than the people of Anassos. Ucha Oimer. I hear you. Mitzudas repeats himself for the third time. The Alki Godlo Rasa Mehat Sarech. Being that their evil is extreme, is more than normal. Who Lahamshul? Who is he comparing that to? As Nevuchan. I'm sorry. The Alki Godlo Rasa Mehat Sarech. Being that they're extremely evil, that is why I'm going to bring upon them the Churban of Nevuchanetzar. Who lehamshilas Nevuchanetzar? I'm giving authority to Nevuchanetzar, lavoi aleihem ulahashchisam, and to destroy them. In other words, this is the answer to Yirmiyah's question: why do you allow the wicked to prosper? The answer is: I need the wicked people, Nevuchanetzar, to serve as a tool in my hands to bring punishment to Klal Yisrael because of their extreme evil. The people of Yerushalayim are the susim; they are people whose evil is beyond your comprehension. That's why I have to allow Nebuchadnezzar to rise in power and success in order to punish them. With the Eretz Shalom, now he follows through in the Pasuk. Ata now, Bo Lefarish HaMashal, in this part of the Pasuk he's going and explaining the Mashal. This itself is a very interesting idea. We discussed this before, that sometimes when Hashem gives Mishalim, yeah, sometimes...
working over here. Why does Hashem need the Rishayim to hurt Bnei Israel? Hashem just could have caused a plague like in the Chumash. You don't have to create evil to
punish people.
Do this.
I don't know the answer. You're asking a good question. It's a really good question. So what's be a plague? Or something, whatever it is. Yeah, I don't know the answer. Hashem has his ways. There are reasons why he specifically wanted Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted a foreign nation to exile the Jewish people. I don't know the answer.
So he's complaining. So Hashem says, well, you know what, you're tough enough, you're in the Marines, you gotta take the job, you gotta do it.
That's right.
Yirmiyahu says, you know what,
I quit.
Take somebody else.
I quit. You see that Hashem. It's another tough question, but you do see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He recruits people for a job, and He does not allow them to back out. That is the opening. This is critical. What you're saying is the opening words of the Sefer. B'terem etzorcha v'abetem yidaticha u'b'terem teitzim erechem hekashticha. You've been designated navi lagoyim nesaticha. This is your tafkid. There's no way out. Moshe Rabbeinu as well. It's your... What?
So he gave him 70 people to help him out. He said, look, I can't do it anymore. I didn't give birth
to him. Well, seemingly, Yirmiyahu must have also had assistance. Chazal say there were 1.2 million Nevi'im. He wasn't alone. There also must have been, he must have had some degree of assistance. That's how it is. Hashem, that itself is a very powerful limud. You cannot escape from your mission in life. Whether you like it or not, this is what you've been selected to do. There's no way out. People find that. People find that to very be true. You're trapped in to a certain. Many times people find themselves in a position in life and they're trapped and they don't enjoy what they're doing and they have an option of quitting. So why don't they quit? So some will say you're a fool. You're a prisoner of your own mind. Quit. Who's stopping you? It's a sickness. You have to go to a psychologist to convince you to quit. And other times, no. It's right, you don't like it, you're not comfortable, but this is your tafkid. I mean, there's a balance of when to leave, when not to leave. You know, they say that Rav Solomon, he's not well, he's a refuah shlema in Lakewood, so he wanted to quit. He very much, a number of years ago, he had a lot of difficulty, and he wanted out. And they didn't let him. The Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood, now he's not well, you know, unfortunately he's not very active now, but then he was very active and it was just bo ma'imad nofesh. And they didn't let him quit. They just said, you have no choice. This is your your mission in life. And there are a lot of stories with Rav Solomon about why they didn't, relating the details, but I don't know, it's a tough thing. I don't know. Okay, let's go further.
What
now, yeah.
If you can't escape and you have to do what Hashem wants, how does that mesh with free will? Because why couldn't you? Didn't your Miyahu could have said, "I don't want to do it."
He did say. He said many times he didn't want to do it.
No way.
A lot of Nevi'im went through it. Hosea went through it. Look what happened to Yonah.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. Where do you draw the line of free will? Vayechabed Hashem et slave paro. So there's the same question. Maybe you want to suggest that this is zel umazeh. There are sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu hardens a person's heart to be wicked, like by paro, to refuse, so he should be obliterated. And sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu hardens a person's heart that he should be a tzaddik. He should do his will. So that's like the balance of the question of where do you draw the line with regard to free will? I don't know the answer. It's way above my pay grade. Okay. Now, this over here, I just want to point out, this is a thing, this is just another piece you can add to the collection of psukim. Throughout Nach, there are mishalim. Over and over, Hashem gives mishalim. The Nevi'im give mishalim. The Nevi'im give their own mishalim. Hashem is giving; they're giving a mashal name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes the mashal is explained, and sometimes it's not explained. Sometimes you have a few psukim describing this is a vineyard, and the vines have produced sour grapes, so on and so forth. You figure out what the message is. And indeed, you'll have a Mitsudos, and a Rashi, and a Radak, and a Targum, and you look in the Midrashim, and everyone will have a different take to decipher the depth of the Mashal. Sometimes, though, in the Ach, you'll have a Mashal, and then a few Psud, then immediately following the Mashal, the Pasuk itself tells you what the meaning of the Mashal is. You have that in the very beginning of Yirmiyahu, when Hashem says, what do you see? So he says, I see a Sir Nefuach. There are two Mashalim. I see a Sir Nefuach, a bubbling pot. And let's think about it. They always Mashalim. Sometimes the Mashal is explained, and sometimes it's up to you to decipher. Here, it's unique that even in the very same Pasuk, in the same pasuk, usually at least goes on for your psukim, the mashal is given, and the interpretation of the mashal is given. The pasuk begins ki im raglim ratzta vayal ucha, Ve'echtischare es asusim, and there's not even a soif pasuk. You would be very happy to have your soif pasuk. Who's holding us back? Yet in the very same pasuk it says, Uve eretz shalom ata vayteach. The mashal is the eretz shalom ata vayteach refers to your own kind of people, the raglim ratzta. The echtasa begoyin hayardein, that refers to the susim, the horses. So even in the very same pasuk we find over here, we find here an explanation. Let's see how the mitzvah follows again. Uve eretz shalom ata bol lefarish. Now he's coming to explain us a mashal. V'omar, and he explains as follows. B'yoscha b'eretz shalom, when you were in the land of peace, be'anosos, im kiroivecha, v'chi ato boteach bohem shloyase im chora, didn't you have faith in the people that they would not harm you? You lived in a land where you were complacent. You never imagined in your wildest dreams that your own neighbors were trying to assassinate you. Al achas kama v'kama v'eich im kentase bitochon. How then are you going to survive when I send you to Yerushalayim, which here is being described with the term Bigoin Hayardain, in the land of the Gaon Hayardain? This is a real place. I don't know if they have a place today called the Gaon Hayardain. And it was a real location. Shehu Ma'on Arayos. It was a place where lions frequented. Ritzon Elaymar. Eich tamoid mul anshe Yerushalayim v'sarim. Gaon Hayardin is a code word for Yerushalayim, where there are lions, ferocious creatures who will devour anyone that criticizes their way of life. So here in this one pasuk unique, we have the mashal and the nimshal without even having a break of a soif pasuk. And when you have the nimshal, it severely limits your ability to interpret the mashal. When you don't have the nimshal, then it's up to your imagination. And you'll have many interpretations of a pasuk. But when the pasuk itself gives you the interpretation, you're severely limited in what exactly the meaning of the pasuk is. So this is the interpretation of the mitzudos. Now Rashi says kimat exactly the same thing. Look at Rashi, ki im raglim ratzta vayalucha, kreivecha hakoyhanim kumaischa, your relatives, the koyhanim that are like you, the anshe yuecha, boim lorgecha, if the people in your own city who your relatives and your friends are trying to kill you, raglim, im raglayim, so raglim means a foot race, you run, ratzta means you run with your feet, keremcho, we'll be back, baruch Hashem, you back, you can give us the translation of these French words, the Frenchman. Rashi was known as the Frenchman. By who? The Rambam. The Rambam called Rashi the French. Rambam says, I wanted to write a parish. I was considering writing a parish on the Talmud. So the Rambam says, but I don't have to do it because the Frenchman already did it. So he called Rashi the Frenchman. So here Rashi shows off his French. Raglayim. Raglayim. Yeah. Im Raglayim.
Yeah, he calls it piéton, a pedestrian.
Pedestrian? Okay, people.
Footman, walking.
Pedestrian, that's what taco to me. Pedestrian means a person's walking?
Yeah, I
always thought from my SAT days, it means an ordinary. Ordinary.
No, that's
that
also.
That's
a different way.
Okay. So it's podiatrist is related to pedestrian. Yes.
No, pedestrian.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Learn something new every day. Okay. So it means to foot. And echnami means to race by foot. The eich tischore es hasusim. How do you attempt to compete with the susim? Loroitz es hasusim. To compete with the horse, kolaymar. If even the koyhanim are coming to kill you, call shekain sheyakumu lehargecha sari Yehuda al achas kam v'kama. The people of Yehuda are much even more evil. V'zehu kitzpi alehem. And this is my anger. Now he comes to explain And this is now coming, Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming to answer the question. Your question was, why are Rishoim successful? Specifically, why is Nebuchadnezzar successful? The answer is, this is my anger I have upon them, and that is why I have no choice but to allow Nebuchadnezzar to be successful. We'll read that in a few moments. Let's just leave out the Targum, we'll come to it in a few moments. First, let's read a beautiful Medrash before we come to the Radak. The Radak, and interestingly, does not cite this Medrash. He says, Medrash Rabbah Seinu, Im al Sochar Sholosh Pasiyos Sherot Nebuchadnezzar Lichvoidi Bimei Meroidach Biladon. Meroidach Biladon was the king of, was the grandfather. Was his father, maybe? It's a Shiloh, exactly who he was. I don't remember this. But Meroidach Biladon was one of the founders of the nation of Bavel, of the Kastim. And in those days, the Kastim was in a third world country. No one even heard about it. It was a non-entity. No one knew how to pronounce the name of the country. It was an insignificant country. And during that time, Chizkiyahu was gravely ill. And he was about to die. And Yeshaya came to Chizkiyahu and says, you're going to die because you did not get married. You did not produce a descendant that can continue the Malchus of Beis David. And Chizkiyahu said, well, what do you want? I see that I'm going to have a child, Menashe, Amon, they're going to do great evil. It would be better that Klal Yisrael shall not have such evil kings. Yeshaya says, don't play God. You do what you have to do. Hashem will do what he has to do. And he offered his daughter in marriage, and Chizkiyahu married the daughter of Yeshaya, and from that came indeed Menashe. So at that point in time, immediately he got better. When he accepted upon himself that he would get married, he miraculously recovered. And part of the discussion is Hashem did an os, performed a miraculous sign on behalf of Chizkiyahu, that the time went backwards. We went back 10 hours. The sun moved back 10 hours. It was a miracle which affected the entire world. The entire world took note. And at that point in time in history, there were prophets, even among the non-Jews. And they all attributed the fact that the miracle, that this time we went back in time, this is very fascinating, and I'm personally fascinated with time travel. Okay, it's like an amazing thing, this concept of time travel. I have like very big Yetzer Sahara for these novels and, you know, other forms of media that elaborate upon fiction of time travel. It's a very fascinating thing to me. And here you have Mamash HaMetzias, the reality of where we went back in time 10 hours. And the entire world was enamored by this event. And who was responsible for it? And it was clear it was the merit of Chizkiyahu. And everyone sent congratulatory letters. Like today, when you become head of state, everyone's expected to send a letter, to send a message, and everyone sent in letters and get well cards to Chizkiyahu. Among them was this little country that no one ever heard of called the Kastim, Bavel. Who ever heard of them? So Biladon, he wrote a letter. Happened to be that the secretary that day, the scribe, was on vacation. He was on die, went on vacation. He was not. Nebuchadnezzar was the scribe of Meroidach Biladon, and he normally was the speechwriter, right? The speechwriter who was sure to do a copyscape on that was his mission, to copyscape on the speeches or on the letters that were sent out to other heads of state. What? I guess not. They had copyscape in those days as well. And he sent out a message. So the king, the Nebuchadnezzar, he wrote a letter. And the letter, Nebuchadnezzar was not present, so he was not spell checked, grammar checked, it was not checked for content checked, and it went out. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar walks into the palace, knew what happened in the last couple of days. He heard about the miracle, yeah. So the king, he sent out a get well card or congratulatory letter to Chizkiyahu. Really? Can I see a copy of what they sent? and they showed him a copy, and in the letter it said, "Greetings to the great King Chizkiyahu, who is a servant of the great God, the Ribbono Shel Olam." So Nebuchadnezzar said, "You made a grave mistake. You don't go put HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't, a second, first you mention that, first you mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you mention the King Chizkiyahu. It's a disgrace to the name of Hashem." So they said, "Well, it's a good observation, but it's a little bit too late. The letter already has been dispatched." So Nebuchadnezzar says, "No problem, I'll go and run after, I'll chase, pursue the letter carrier, and I'll bring back the letter." And indeed, he ran. He took three steps. What does it mean, three steps? That's a little bit of a mystery. What it means, three steps? It sounds more like he had to do quite a bit of traveling. But he pursued...
Okay.
Snail mail. He pursued after the letter carrier to retrieve the letter. So the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took note of the kavod that the Nebuchadnezzar demanded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deserving of, and in the merit of taking these three steps, he was selected to rise to greatness and have shlita over Klal Yisrael at a time when they were not doing the Ritzono Shel Makom. Any nation could have been the pawn in Hashem's hand to bring punishment upon Klal Yisrael. It could have been Mitzrayim, it could have been Ammon, it could have been Moab, it could have been Edom. Why did Hashem select Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, to be the nation that would be the one that would conquer Yerushalayim? It's because of the kavod. Let the one who knows how to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu be the one to exact vengeance from the nation that does not know how to give kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this is what he did. This idea here is alluded to, according to Rashi, in this very pasuk. Ki es you Yirmiyah are disturbed. You don't understand why I have given Nebuchadnezzar such enormous power. And you also have another question that's bothering you. This whole part of the discussion needs to be explained. You don't understand why is it in general tzaddik v'ra'alei rasha v'tayev lo. So here Rashi explains. Let's go back to the words of the Rashi. So Rabbi Seinu im al schar, on the reward of shalosh pisiyos, the three steps sherotz Nebuchadnezzar lichvaydi, that Nebuchadnezzar he ran in my honor, bimei in the days of meroidach biladon ata toma, you are in shock. You don't understand why Nebuchadnezzar should be given such power. Sheherbesi gidulosei kolkach, I have increased his greatness that much. Ma tisma, so how do you expect to understand od kishetire shiloim sochar shashaleim latzadikim? So Allah said, also you have no understanding of the reward that Hashem will pay to the tzadikim. Sherotzu lefonai kisusim, who run before me like horses. So in this beautiful medrash, we're comparing the susim to tzaddikim, to the reward that the tzaddikim are going to earn and receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyah, you cannot begin to fathom what it's like in Olam Haba, the schar of the tzaddikim. If you see, you can't understand to fathom the reward, why you get such reward for taking three steps that the foot race man took, which is the Nebuchadnezzar, what he received, certainly you're not going to understand the reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the tzaddikim. So this is the interpretation of Rashi. Okay, now let's take a look at the Radak. Radak runs through many interpretations as well, yeah?
Actually, there are a few versions of this. What you just quoted is the Parakalic version in Sanhedrin. Also, version that say he took four steps and the reward for that was... Well, but one said that three steps, because if he had taken a fourth step,
then we would there'd be no survivors.
And then another version is that it was Nebuchadnezzar, it's an Esther Rabba, Nebuchadnezzar, and the kings that followed him, were each one for each step. The total number of kings above El.
Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, and Balshetzar. Balshetzar, the three kings that followed. Meroidach Baladan was before.
So there were four.
But he's now the right. Meroidach Baladan and Nebuchadnezzar took over. Some say that he was the son of Meroidach Baladan. Then is Evel Meroidach. That was his son. That was the son, and then came Balshetzar. That was the end of the Malchus. That was the 70 years of the Malchus above him. Okay, now we have to finish Rashi. I forgot Rashi. Now Tischare. So Ramchal, what does it mean Tischare to compete? What is the word, that French word?
But he says it means compete.
To compete, okay.
I don't know what that means.
Uve eret shalom asher ato boiteach, Sham Hilucha, the land where you have peace. Okay. So we'll sit over here. Okay, let's go further in Rashi. In the land of peace, where you're exhausted, there you've been exhausted. The eich taseh begoin. Sorry, so the goin here means the arrogant. The mind refers to the sorry. That refers to the sorry Yehuda. The goin hayardin mashal hu. This land is a mashal. What's the mashal? Fishu hu mokam arayos v'nemarim. It was a place of lions and leopards. The chel lamanu yoinasan b'harbi mekaymas. Yoinasan perikud beis. V'chein lamanu yoinasan b'harbi mekaymas. V'kan targim. Okay, we'll leave out the targim. We'll do the targim in a few moments. Okay, so this, let's leave out the Targum. We'll do the Targum when we finish the Radak. Okay, yeah.
Isn't there a continuation of the Medrash that we now, since this time, are supposed to follow the Sefer Torah by at least three steps to counteract what Nebuchadnezzar?
When the Sefer Torah, very good. There's a Medrash that when you put the Sefer Torah back into the Aron, he's supposed to... Okay, Rabbi Isai, please. When you put the Sefer Torah back in the Aron, you're supposed to take three steps back in a Chanami to counteract the three steps that Nebuchadnezzar came to in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His honor was not a sincere, I mean, maybe it was sincere, that's why he was Ocha. You have the same thing with Esav. Esav cried three tears when he realized that Yaakov received the, took the brachas, he stole the brachas. So Chazal said that those tears, to some degree, were sincere tears. Those are tears recognizing the pain that he lost out. He had an appreciation of what Ruchnius is all about, what Klal Yisrael is all about, what Yitzchak is all about, and when he
the three terms.
Three different terms. Okay, so you have the same idea by Nebuchadnezzar and by Esav. Esav cried three tears, and Chazal said the same exact concept. He would have cried one more tear, then there would not be left a she'eris from the Sa'ine Yisrael euphemism, there would be no one left. And that same idea is said by Nebuchadnezzar. He took three steps. Had he taken one more step, then Chas Shalom, there would not have been any survivors.
Can you tell me where you are? I have no idea.
Okay, I'm sorry. In Perigud days, Pasik.
I don't hear too good either.
Okay. It's okay.
In the middle of your shir, I may get up and go to the...
It's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
What is your name?
Okay, we have a shir now. We'll talk later. Okay, we have a shir now.
I don't hear. So where are you? Tell me where.
Over here.
Azavti is
left. Yes. Okay, we're doing now the Radak. Pasuk Hey in the Radak.
What's the purpose of going back to 10 hours?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there are explanations. There are, but we have to learn Malachim. Maybe one day we'll be zeicha to learn Malachim, and Yirtz Hashem, then we'll delve into. Okay. Let's see the Radak first, and then we'll look at the Targum. Okay, let's look at the Radak Pasik Hey. Ki es raglim ratzta. And what does this mean that if you have a foot race? Perish Adoni Avi Zichron Levracha Kolu Ze Pasuk Teshuva Shelasa. This pasuk is the end of his request. Shelo Yaharher Achar Midos Hakadosh Baruch Hu Omar. This is the response. Kuloi ze haposik, it's kuloi. Kuloi ze haposik teshuvas sheiloso. This posik is Hashem's response to Yirmiyah's question of why do the wicked prosper? Shelo yeharher achar midas haKadosh Baruch Hu, that Yirmiyah, you should not question Hashem's ways. Omar Hashi said, V'almashe sha'alti ani mishivcha zeh hamashal. Regarding your request, I'm giving you a mashal to answer your request. I'm not going to give you an answer directly. I'm going to answer your question with a mashal. Ki ani ro'ye oischa sheratzta im raglayim kamoischa v'hilucha. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, I have witnessed that you have had a foot race with your own kind, and you're tired, you're exhausted, you're worn out. Kiratzu yoisim imcha, because they won. They were faster than you. And you were unable to succeed. You lost the marathon. V'hilucha b'mrutzasam lehasigam, they wore you out in your attempt to keep up with them. V'eich tischareh, how then tisachare es hasusim? How then do you think you can compete with the horses? The eich tisarev im hasusim larutzi mohem. How do you think you would be able to compete with the horses? Period. That is the end of the nimshol. What is the that's the mashal. What is the nimshol? The ze perish hamashal. Hine atem bein bnei adam kimoyscha. You Yirmiyah are now among people like of your own. The eincha yodea datam v'soydasam. And you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what they're planning and plotting against you. Shari amru lahachilcha. Because they attempted to poison you. And you never would have known what's coming if not for the fact that I've revealed the plot to you. The atah and you. Therefore, if you don't even know what's going on in your own hometown, what's going on, how then do you dare to fathom the depth of my thoughts and plans? In the conduct, in my conduct of how I conduct the world, in this that I allow the wicked to be successful, therefore, stoik, quiet, the altis teharer achar midoisi, do not question my ways. The hoisif loy, and Yirmiyah Hashem adds more to. And he adds more to the mashal. Ladaber loyal inyan atzmo. Cholal bo meirosh haposik inyan atzmo. The Omar Lodi says to him, Ani roye oischa cholush v'nile bishlichusi. I see that you are weak and worn out in my shlichus. So the second half of the pasuk is an explanation. I see that you, Yirmiyah, have become worn out in the mission that I have sent you. They are on the same level as you, Inyan Gidula. They have worn you out, and they have terrified you, Lehamischa. How are you going to be with the horse when you go to Yerushalayim? Shame, Sarim Gedolim, the Gam Hamelech Sham. The king is the lion. The lion is the king of the animals. There you're going to deal with Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim is going to try to kill you when you present to him Sefer Migula Secha. How will you deal with them? You have to strengthen yourself. You have to really give over the message without fear. So you are confident in the city that you live in. Here are the key words. The Radak, if not for this Radak, I never would have understood what the Pasuk means. He explains that when it says here in the Pasuk, Eretz Shalom, it means a land that is ro'oy for Shalom. It's land that you expect there to be peace. Not that it's a peaceful land. There is no peace. They're trying to kill you. But it's a place where you expect there to be peace. Roy shetia lecha eret shalom. V'hoya lecha livtoyach bohem shiatzilucha miyad hamavakshim lehora lach. And you expect to have confidence there to be protected. back, but kihem kiroivecha, because those are your relatives. Uvnei irecha, umiderecha olam, and it's common, it's the way of the world, shahakroivim, ubnei ir, achas, sheniskalu biyacha lahodin zelze. It's natural that your own neighbors should want to protect you. Vishayahavu ho echad al chaveroi, and one should love his fellow friend. At sheyismasru lomos al oy haveihem, oy kroiveihem. People will even be willing to give up their own lives to save their fellow man. That is human nature. It's an amazing, amazing idea, is that people are willing to sacrifice their own lives to save a neighbor, a friend, a relative, and even a stranger. How many times do we hear in the news where people, they go, they're selfless, they give up their own life to save a person. Even in this tragedy in Nice, France, it happened last Friday, there's a story that the person, he actually, imam, she gave up his life, he threw himself in front of a truck in order to try to stop him from going. People do selfless acts of sacrifice. That's natural. That's human nature. And the ata lo tuchalaso zeh kihem, and but yet you don't have this. You don't have these type of friends even in your own hometown. Kihem ma'arimim elecha l'hamischa, and yet your own people are trying to conspire against you to kill you. Ve'eich taseh begoyin hayarden. How then do you expect to survive? How would you expect to survive the Gon Hayardin? Kolayma b'mokim shemiskoim al galay Hayardin. The place shemis the galay Hayardin, the place where the waves of the Yardin roar. The who mashal al sari Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. This is a mashal to the sari of Yerushalayim. The hamshilam l'goin Hayardin l'fiv shehu. It is now who hanor shemesuch Eretz Yisrael. It's a river in Eretz Yisrael. Kiforas begvul Eretz Yisrael who. For us, the Euphrates is in the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, Pras, Begvul Eretz Yisrael, who the Yitochin, fine, that ends a similar interpretation. So he really, in very beautiful words, very eloquent, how he basically repeated the same idea that we saw in the Mitzudos and in Rashi. It's the same idea, the same Moshel, the same Nimshal, period. Now, he's coming to elaborate a bit more. V'yitochin l'farshay al Nebuchadnezzar. What is all of this referred to? This also can refer to Nebuchadnezzar. She'osid lahamid chayaloisa v'eretz Yisrael me'ever le'yarde. A second interpretation is that we're now referring to the kings of Yehuda to whom you're going to give Musar, but instead we're referring to the Goin Hayarden is Nebuchadnezzar. That means the horses are going to be Nebuchadnezzar. Be'eretz Yisrael be'ev Hayarden. Ve'omar lo liYirmiyahu. Hashem is saying to Yirmiyahu, im atam mefachim mehem sheim ma'atim. If you are afraid of the people in Anosos, which are few in number, how in the world are you going to survive Nebuchadnezzar, whose armies are numerous? Eich taseh b'mi shuhu doymel ligoin hayardein. Period. Kiv'yoynesim gankim perish apostol with the shuvas ha'shelim yushav alo'ini. We'll do that in a few moments, like we explained. Okay, so far that concludes the pasuk. Let's just now talk about the targum, then we'll summarize all of the different ideas in this pasuk. So we have to summarize Perek Yud Beis pasuk Hey. The targum says, "Dino siyufto liYirmiyah neviya al bousei on his question." That is a mouthful. Because the commentators, many of them said that Hashem did not honor his question with a response. The Targum cannot be more explicit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a response to Yirmiyah's question as to why the Rishoyim are successful. And he goes on to say, what does Hashem say? Nevi'a at, you are a prophet. Domei legavra, to a person, derahat im ragla'o, who has run with his feet, v'lo'e, and has become tired. Now he does not mention over here competing. He just mentions over here that you're running with your feet. According to Rashi, the Mitzvahs in Rashi, there's a competition. There's a marathon. You're competing against your fellow man, and they are faster than you, and you're trying to keep up, and you're trying to speed up, and you fail. They outrun you, and in the process, you're tired. That's not what the Targum says. The Targum says just very simply, you're just going for your daily jog. You're going for your daily jog, and just by running, you become tired. How then at midame limirhet? How then do you think that you can run kol kavel susvasa? Run? How could you then run opposite a horse, bevik aso uva ara, to run opposite a horse in the to run on period. Susfosa period. And now comes the second half of the pasuk, which is the explanation. Bevik aso in the valley, uva ara shlama, at misbetach, in the valley, and an eretz of peace, in the meaning where you live now in Anosos, which is in the valley and the land of peace, at misbetach, you have had confidence, v'nofel, but you have stumbled, v'ichdein at midame l'mebad kol koves chavas bira, how then are you going to survive in the place where there are wild animals that roam on the outside, dibirom yardena, which is on the other side of the, on the high part, the Romans, the Goin of the Yarden. Now he adds in a whole long elaboration that which is not in the pasuk. Okay, this is where you need the Targum. Many times the Targum just very, very briefly translates words, but here, over here, he's coming over here to really elaborate. The im al tavon da'ana motav l'nevucha netzer malko de bovel. If on the good things, the good things that I, the good blessings that I've given to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, who is compared to in this mashal as the foot runner. According to the Targum, we have a new interpretation. The one that is running on foot is Nebuchadnezzar. Nevi'a at Chazei, you the Navi see, and are astonished. Nebuchadnezzar is just a human being, and you see what he's about to do, and you have no comprehension of these things. Umin pon. So what's going to happen now? Umin pon de achzich ma de ano asil nevad. Therefore, umak, and if what I'm showing you to do now, this is like what Rashi is saying. Umin pon. Therefore, Dachzich, I will show you madano asil nevad le'av hasach, to your forefathers, tzadikaya, the righteous ones, the min alma of the world, dir hatu kisus vasach, who have run like horses, le'nevad oivadon tovin, to do good deeds kodomai, the af amareis lahon, I have also said to them that they should, I will bring upon them, that I say, al b'nei hoin, I will bring upon their children, birchan, blessings, v'nahamon, nahamon means comfort, ha'kimaya, like the water, d'nochasin, shetoif liyardena, like the mighty yarden, mighty waters that flow into the yarden. So the Targum is pretty much taking the Medrash that was quoted by Rashi, but is putting it into the words of the Pasuk in a very precise way. The foot runner is Nebuchadnezzar, based upon the Medrash. Obviously, Nebuchadnezzar took three steps. He took three steps in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the order, the seder of the letter. For that, he was rewarded with enormous blessing. And to that, you, Yirmiyah, you're exhausted when you try to fathom why he was rewarded with such great reward for just doing something so simple. You have no comprehension. Al achas kama v'kama, you will have no comprehension of understanding the reward I give the tzaddikim, who are compared to horses, who run like, or run to do Hashem's will like swift horses. And not only to them have I promised to do great bracha, I promised to give bracha to their children, to their descendants, and the bracha that I give to them is compared to the Goin Yarden. The Goin Yarden is the mashal for the place of the Yarden where all of the rivers of the world flow into. All the brachas of the world will flow into this Yarden, into this location. That's what I've promised to give to their children. Therefore, Yirmiyah, you cannot even begin to fathom the reward that is going to come to the tzaddikim and to their descendants for doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have done so in the will of running like horses. Okay, so this is Hashem's response to Yirmiyah after he says to him, why is it that that's Rasha v'toivloi, Tzadik v'raloi? He's really addressing both. I think it's very important because he's addressing both the Rasha and the Tzadik. The Rasha is the foot runner, the Tzadik is the horses. The Rasha v'toivloi you do not comprehend, so therefore you certainly will not comprehend, you also will not comprehend the Tzadik, the reward that will ultimately come to the Tzadik. This world is an Olam Hafach. Here in this world, it's the opposite. But ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar will get what he deserves, and the Tzadikim and their children will get what they deserve. Okay, so this concludes this pasuk. And obviously, we have many different ideas. We're comparing the horses. What comes out of here is just to sum up, who are the horses? The horses either refers to the wicked people of Yerushalayim, or the horses can refer to Nebuchadnezzar, who is extremely mighty and powerful. You're not going to be able to understand, you're not going to be able to deal with Nebuchadnezzar, the few. You can't deal with the few people who live here in Nosos. You can't deal with them. How are you going to deal with Nebuchadnezzar's army, massive army, which is compared over here to horses? A third interpretation is the horses refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't understand the ways of man, how do you expect to understand and comprehend the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's one interpretation I think it says over here in the article. You're not going to be able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, his awesomeness is beyond human comprehension. And the fourth interpretation is the horse referred to the tzaddikim who have run to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most magnificent way. Four interpretations of who are the horses that we are referring to. The people, the wicked people of Yerushalayim, Nebuchadnezzar's massive army, the Ribbono Shel Olam, or the Tzadikim that are going to receive reward in the next world. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk says, Kigam Achecha Uvesavicha Gam Hema Bogduvach. Here is an elaboration of the mashal. The people in your own hometown, your brethren and your family, they have rebelled against you. Now this is a very beautiful word. They have also called after you mole. What does it mean mole? So we're going to see the Radak has an elaboration. I'll just run it by you now before we see the words inside. Either they've said it, they've called after you to gather. Mole is used in some places to mean to come together. They've called in a gathering, in a seifa. We today call it an asifa. It's not the correct. That's not the correct pronunciation. Today there's an asifa. Everyone come together on Tisha B'Av. We're having an asifa to say kinnus. There's an asifa in the city field to discuss the internet technology. That's not the right word. Asifa means to die. I will gather them in. They will die. So when you say you're going to an asifa, you say, whose funeral? Whose funeral are you going to? The word of gathering is an asefa. Asefa with a tsere under the samach. It's a dead issue. There's no way you can... No one knows what you're talking about. If you can't beat them, join them. If you're making a sign for a gathering, even though you indeed know what it means, forget it. It's a dead cause. It's a lost cause. You're going to an asifa. But here, the word mole is such a word. What you should do is you put up on the sign, there will be today a mole in honor of this event. So they'll right away think that you're there for a kel mole. Kel mole. But a mole means a gathering. This is the ancestor of the word asifa, a mole. So the pasuk here says, "Gam himo karolecha." They've called acherecha mole. They've called meetings. The people in your hometown have called private, secret meetings, Facebook groups, to figure out a solution to eliminate you, to silence you, suppress your agenda. That's what they've called for. Another interpretation, and this is a very beautiful idea, is many times in Tanakh, a word is used both in its positive form and its negative form. For example, Yishrosh, to take root, Yisharesh, to uproot. The word, now sometimes you don't even have to change the vowels to refer to the opposite meaning. Mole means full, but mole is like a euphemism, Lashon Saginor, a person has a lot of light. A lot of light. What does it mean there's a lot of light? It means Rahman al-Islam is blind. So mole means empty. It's a poetic way of referring to a person who's empty. They've called Gamhimukara Harecha Mole. They've said about you, you Yirmiyah, you're an empty person. You're Mole, Saginar, you're empty. All of your content, your message is meaningless. A third interpretation is chutzpah. And the word Mole refers not to the subject, but to the people who are speaking. They've said, they've called Kimilu Liboy. Mole Leif. Mole Leif is short for a person that has chutzpah. So they've called Acharecha Mole with chutzpah. The people have gathered with chutzpah and said they're going to kill you, they're going to destroy you. So those are a collection of ideas of the word Mole. And what do they say? Al Tamein Bom. Do not have faith in them. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, don't have any confidence in these people that come forward. Ki yidabru eilecha toivois, when they speak good, when they tell you, when they come to you, when they say to you, they were going to be good to you, we're going to assist you, we're going to help you out, they invite you to a meal, they're coming to poison you. Every good that they give to you is just a technique that they're using in order to silence you and bring upon you harm. Okay, let's see the Mitzudos. Let's try to do this Pasek. Pasek Vav in the Mitzudos Tavid. Bagdu Bach, Vehemo L'chol O'ivim, your best friends are truly your enemies. With friends like these, you don't need enemies. Famous expression. Karu, Isvu, Kivutza, Sanoshim, Lirdoi, Facharecha. They have gathered. He's translating here the word mole means a gathering. Al Tamein Bom, Shekama Oyavim Oysach, Im, that many don't have faith that they love you. Im Shemedabrim Imcha Dvodim Tavim Virakim. Even though they speak to you softly and nicely and calmly, they're fakers. Umehem Tikach Ru'oyo Lerishas Omazeh, and you should use them as a marshal for what you're going to see when you come to Yerushalayim and you come there to the ultimate fakers. And therefore, Yirmiyah, you should understand why I've given enormous power to the Nebuchadnezzar to bring harm to these people. It's going to be punishment for Klal Yisrael. That's very interesting over here. That's very interesting. Yirmiyah was a Navi. Yirmiyah was no Lemuchel. He was obviously a brilliant, super, super brilliant person, beyond our comprehension. He wrote the Sefer. The Sefer is on Moli Chokma. And yet, Hashem is telling you that you don't see you. They're fooling you. It's an amazing thing. Many people are there. Everyone has a sixth sense where you can tell who's sincere, who's not sincere. It's common. I mean, you deal with people, you right away. It doesn't take much. Even a common person knows if someone's a faker. Maybe one time they can fake you, two times, but after a while, you know. And yet, these people were so good. They were so good, they were able even to fake Yirmiyah, to fool Yirmiyah, to think that they are sincere. And Hashem himself has to come and step in to say to Yirmiyah, watch out, they talk nice, they have smooth talk, they're soft, they're out there to get you. That itself is mind-boggling. There is no Rashi in this pasuk. Let's go to the Radak. Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Vav Gam Ki Bagdu Bach Yalisa Botech Bachem Yafet Nev Yamal Halachil Chasam Moves. You were fooled by them, and you are fooled by them. They want to poison you. Kara Recham Mole Kibbutz. The word
which is
Anoshim. Oh, there is Kara Recham Mole Kvutz Anoshim means to gather. An Asifa or an Asifa, as we say it. Karo lecha mole kibbutz. Tradak says it means a kibbutz, a gathering. Kolaymar hiskapso erecha liyir echa ul halcha, to terrify you. They gather against you to instill in you fear. Intis nabelahem, they threaten you. If you dare warn, if you dare give them musr, they'll kill you. V'chein meloi ro'im, you see the same word used elsewhere. Meloi means a gathering of shepherds. Kibbutz Reim sheyiskabsu acharei ho'ariyeh, a gathering of shepherds that gather after the lion. They all gather together to kill the lion. Al tamein bam, don't have confidence in them. Im yikrivucha v'yidabru lecha toivos, if these people come to you and they want to give you gifts, they want to speak nice to you, they want to make nice, do not al tamein bam ki sheker hindoivrim ki datam kadesh tikarev etzlam b'itia b'bateim lecha v'lusha simoim. Their plan is you should come into their home, they'll serve you a meal, and that will be the end. They're really trying to entice you to eat their food and to die poison. Okay, now we have the Targum, which we'll come to in a moment. We'll leave the Targum for a moment. Now Rashi Radak here Kedargoy quotes many Rishonim. I don't recall that we had Rabbeinu Hai until now. Rabbeinu Hai Perash Mole Min Hamiloy Shem Befarshim or some Behapchon. It's Loshon Sagenar. What's the English word for that? It's euphemism. Kloimar Chosar b'chol davar. They speak empty words. Kemoish oimim l'samya saginar. They say about a person who's blind, he's saginar. But Adoni, that's the parish of Rav Haigon. And now we come to the father of the Radak. But Adoni, zechon levracha, parish mole gmin asher milo libo chutzpah. Their heart is filled. They say about you that you have no fear. Hashem says, don't listen. They speak to you with chutzpah. They tell you, don't you dare speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you speak, we're going to kill you. That's the ultimate chutzpah. Meloi Levi. And Hashem says, don't listen. What?
I think the point is, V'ata Moseph Olinavei.
Hashem is now saying, no, Yirmiyah, don't be afraid of the chutzpah. V'ata you Moseph Olinavei. Hashem, I'm telling you, no, I want you to prophesy. V'loi tefochei min hamis. Don't be afraid. That's the message, but they speak to you with chutzpah. So we have here one word, and it's amazing how much interpretation is subject to. Let's just conclude with the Targum, and we'll stop. Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav Udaat Yirmiyah. Boy Aleon Rachamin. So here it's amazing. He says, "You, Yirmiyah, you seek upon them rachamim. You daven for them. Yirmiyah boil in rachamim. Arei yas achochu vesavuch, because they are your brothers and they are part of your family. Af inun shakarubach, and yet look what they do. They lie to you. Af inun amna loch milin bishin. They say upon you lies. Lot." Tehemon behon, do not have faith in them. Arei, because yemrun aloch piskamin pis. Don't have faith if they say about you. Arei yemrun aloch piskamin takanin. If they say nice things to you, it's meaningless. Don't have faith in them. So the additional chiddush that the Targum is adding into this pasuk is saying, Yirmiyah, look what's going on here. These people, not only you daven for them, you're so good, Yirmiyah. Daven for them.
That was
afterwards, but that was only when Hashem revealed it to them. Maybe that's why he got so angry. The rule of thumb is the more I once heard from my Talbot speak. So he said, why do you find that the ugliest fights in life are divorce, man and wife? The horror stories you hear about divorce are off the charts. You don't find two friends. You find people, human beings. They kill each other also. but the stories you hear about an ugly divorce are far worse and far more common than stories you hear about bin adam lachavero, other types of stories. So he said the answer is because the expectations. According to the expectations of love is when there's a falling out of that love, there is hate. Husband and wife, it all starts out very good. There's an expectation of loyalty, of love to each other. And when that unravels, then it goes to the other extreme. When you're dealing with two chaverim in a business, there's not such expectation. The expectations are not that high. Everyone knows everyone's out for their own good. So when there's a falling out, they fight, so they fight. But it's not to the same extreme. Here, maybe that answers the question. But here the Targum says that Yirmiyah, originally, these are his neighbors, his brothers, his friends. He davened for them. He was such a good person. He would be mispalel for them in his tefillos. And now he discovers the people that I love. I go to the effort of davening for them. You know, it's one thing to like a person, to be on good terms with a person. But it's another thing to go so far to a person and to actually love the person, but you're actually going to daven for them. And now these same people trying to kill me, the hatred is that much greater, and that's why he responds in such a violent way by demanding their death. We are up to Pasuk Zayin. We'll continue to pick this up tomorrow.